This episode of She Explores is sponsored by Subaru and the 2018 Subaru Crosstrek. Stay tuned for later in the episode when we hear about filmmaker Sarah Menzies' experience road tripping one from New Mexico to Texas. Love is out there. Find it in a Crosstrek. Learn more at Subaru.com/Crosstrek. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to ask something of you over the next 30 or so minutes. As you listen to this episode, tuck this question in the back of your mind. Are you allowed to change your dream? Gosh, that's a heavy one, isn't it? And yet, the answer could be liberating. I can rephrase it for you. How stuck is too stuck in your ways? What if your life isn't where you thought it would be? What if you're working towards something, but you've lost sight of why? Do you even need to be able to articulate your dreams to have them? Many of us live with a timeline in our minds, conscious and subconscious, and we look ahead and behind for markers to let us know whether we're on the right path or not.
Just saying yes, being really open, instead of, you know, you have your 5-year plan and your 10-year plan and your 20-year plan and you're just sitting there checking boxes, it's so linear. I mean, if I knew what my life was going to look like in 5 years, I would be so bored.
There's so much we can't predict, so much to let go of, and decisions to make at points of transition. About a month ago, She Explores partnered with Subaru to spend 3 days in the dusty desert of Marfa, Texas, with 12 dynamic, adventurous, and creative women. We gathered to contemplate those heady questions, both one-on-one with me and also in groups, moderated in part by Sarah Close of Hello Soul. I'm so excited to share this with you all because there's so much we can learn from each other. Whether or not you've been at a figurative crossroads in your life, too. In this episode, you'll hear bits and pieces of this experience in Marfa and slices of these women's stories. I got to stay in this cute green and white vintage trailer. I invited each of the women inside to talk, and we sat across from each other on a padded bench by the window.
Initially, all of my dreams were really pragmatic, and it was all these things that felt achievable.
This is Jules Davies, an outdoor and editorial photographer who is relatively new in a career that holds so much potential. She spoke of the fear that can come along with figuring out what you want and the clarity that she finds in the outdoors.
I wanted to backpack by myself. Check. I wanted to, start working for a company and make a salary and have my own place. You know, these really like adulting goals. It was so scary to dream bigger. It was so scary to say, what do I want to build? What do I want to create? And it kind of took a while. It took like 5 professional shoots before I felt comfortable saying, I'm a photographer. And this imposter syndrome, when you look around in the space and you feel like everybody else somehow has more training than you, or they have more experience than you, or they have more connections than you, or more talent, more creativity. And then you talk to the people you look up to, and they express their insecurities and their doubts. And you're like, oh my gosh, everybody feels this way. Everybody struggles with this. And that for me was a really freeing thing to hear from other people. It was like, oh man, self-doubt, that's like loneliness. That's the human condition. So if I can acknowledge it and say, well, that's not doing me any good. What if I just rock out on whatever I want to and... some people are going to get it, and some people aren't.
Failure's kind of badass. fast. It's like you try something bold,
you crash and burn. Yeah. Kind of like.
Mediocrity's like you do a thing and you're like kind of okay at it, and people are like, uh-huh. Yeah. And then you're like, yeah, now what? You know, you yeah, scrap totally. It, do you? Yeah. And then you're kind of in that in between, and I don't want to be there.
Yeah. I guess when I'm feeling really good about my work, it's when I feel like I'm inspiring people to get outside and spend quality time with friends and making it feel really accessible. Because sometimes I feel like, especially in the outdoor world, it's like people on top of mountains with a whole bunch of carabiners strapped to their belts, and it's very extreme. It doesn't feel accessible. I feel like when you show someone going on a hike in whatever, their Nike tennis shoes, and they're just gearing up at the car, or like you have a 3-day weekend, grab some friends and hit the road. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be expensive. I just want to portray that as this really accessible, nourishing thing that people can do. And then just in the way that I've been really enjoying working with women and photographing women lately and showing them as strong, pretty, as the same thing. When you're dusty and you're dirty, but you feel really strong because you just hiked all day, and your beautiful, capable body brought you to this epic view of a mountain or a lake or whatever it is. It's like, I don't know, kind of flipping the script on what beauty is and showing it as healthy and capable and strong.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, you're reflecting how you feel in those moments out into your photography.
Totally. Yeah, completely. I feel that's the other thing is, like, really selfishly in my work, I get to go outside. I get to be outside. And sure, part of my work is the editing and in front of a computer screen. But I get to meet really cool people. I get to travel. I get to wake up in the desert. I love it.
Can we just take a moment, like, step back?
This is Shelma June, founder of Flash Foxy, the Women's Climbing Festival, and co-founder of Never Not Collective. You may remember her from her interview from last spring. I'm grateful to Shelma for reminding me that it's important to consider our good fortune and circumstances when we are able to choose adventure or carve out a life path for ourselves.
We're having this conversation about dreams versus reality, and we're all saying, you know, well, they're like the same. I just keep thinking, I'm so lucky that they're converging and becoming indistinguishable at different parts of my life. But gosh, that isn't really the case for most people. A lot of people, their dreams and their reality are so far apart, and it isn't because they don't want it. And so I have a hard time saying, you know, once you choose to follow your dreams, like that's when it happens. Mm-hmm. Because that's when it happened for me. That's when it happened for a lot of us here, but that isn't the case for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of choice. It's a matter of circumstance. It's a matter of systemic discrimination in our country. I just really want to be cognizant of that.
Shelma also articulated the practicality of dreams as small motivations in our day-to-day lives. And the fact that our drivers can feel like they're coming from somewhere outside of ourselves.
I think dreaming is like a good goal planning or ideas. I think that there are, like, every day, there's like 100 different decisions or choices I could make. Some of them very small, only meaningful to this very moment right here. Some of them kind of far-reaching into weeks, months, years of my life. And I think dreams are kind of where I gather my ideas or how I decide to move forward, right? So they're kind of like, there's a cache of dreams. and I'm in reality, and while I'm making decisions, I kind of like look back into this cache and I think, like, based on here, like, what am I deciding right now?
It's interesting to hear someone who I would think of as entrepreneurial not necessarily thinking about a legacy or like the big thing. But I feel the exact same way. So I can understand that. But like when you think of the stereotype of the entrepreneur who's just always pushing, pushing, pushing to like get bigger. And it's just interesting to think about that.
Yeah. I mean, right now I'm just like chasing the psych, you know, as things excite me, as they interest me, as they make me feel fulfilled or like it's meaningful work, I'm just following that as it goes. For me, it's not about becoming bigger. And I think you're similar to me where like the more well-known I get, the more uncomfortable I am. It just isn't really about me. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things that I talk about and a lot of the things that I advocate for aren't necessarily things even that I might experience. I think it's frustrating that we are telling women that they have to master these male qualities in order to be successful. To me, equality isn't about us all succeeding in this system that was made to advantage men. It's about totally breaking down that system and creating a new one. And I'm actually of a characteristic that excels in the male environment. I'm loud. I do say what's important to me. I'm not afraid to call people out. But I don't think all women or even all men are that way, and I don't think you need to be. So when I talk also about women in the outdoors, some of the discomforts that some women feel, I don't necessarily experience those always. But it's not about me. It's about the fact that there's an idea that you have to be a certain way in order to fit in or to feel connected. And I just don't think that should be the case. For me, like Flash Foxy, the Women's Climbing Festival, this whole work that I'm doing is just, I'm just kind of a impetus of having the conversation, but it isn't my story that is like the cornerstone of the work that I'm doing.
Shelma's work is very much grounded in reality, but it's driven by values. She had that in common with the other women in Marfa. Values help guide us in points of transition.
Something that I have to remind myself as well, like people's dreams are very personal, and a dream to you or to me that might seem small is no less like important than like someone else's dream.
So my name's Kayla Barnes. My full-time job is working at a nonprofit doing development work. So a lot of grant writing, a lot of like infrastructure for nonprofits and operations, but I also have a passion project called The Great Outchia, like The Great Outdoors, but The Great Outchia, to celebrate people of color and the outdoors.
Is there a place that you go in times of transition? Is there like anywhere you go or like a headspace that you embody in those times?
I think in a physical sense, whenever I'm like, I need to take a step back and like reevaluate stuff, living in the Bay Area, the Land's End area is great. It's both close to the city, but also like secluded. So I went on a very long solo hike over MLK weekend just because I needed to like, I was stressing about stuff and like had a lot in my mind and just like went walking. There's something very calming and like settling about the ocean, just like waves crashing and like, okay, like this is important, but it's not that serious. I think a mental space, it's for me taking a step back and trying to remember like what's going right, the things that are going wrong. Is this something I've been feeling for a while, or is this episodic?
I asked Kayla if what anyone else said in a group discussion or on a 101 is still sticking with her.
Can I say names?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kristen and I were partners in an exercise, the back-to-back exercise, and we were talking about transitions. And she experienced a really significant transition recently. And she was talking about how that readjusted her dreams. And she described her dreams as simple, but they're very, very elemental things that if you're lucky enough to have all your basic needs taken care of, those are the most important things. Like health, super important. Like it's arguably the most important thing, health and time. But she said health and happiness, like those are the most important things to her now after this huge transition she went through. A reminder that it's okay to have simple dreams or simple desires that kind of fuel you from day to day. But thinking about like how if you're organizing your life around those two desires, like being healthy, being happy, what does that mean? So indulging in things that aren't healthy behaviors, that's not going to fit in with your lifestyle. So that was a good reminder. And if your dream is of being healthy, you're going to like organize your life ideally around things that'll make you healthier. If your dream is to be happy, you're going to organize your life around things that'll make you happy. And hopefully that means checking in with yourself. If you're not feeling happy, figuring out what you can change. So that was like a very simple truth, but it's kind of like a good reminder. If you can create a life that you want to live and not everyone has that privilege, you should. You kind of owe it to yourself.
After talking with Kayla, I really looked forward to talking with Kristen Bland, the woman behind Hello America, and a creative analog film photographer. We'll meet her after a quick word from our sponsor, Subaru. This episode of She Explores is sponsored by Subaru and their 2018 Subaru Crosstrek. Filmmaker Sarah Menzies got to test out a 2018 Crosstrek road tripping from New Mexico to Marfa.
I think the Crosstrek is a really nice looking car. It's nice and compact. It's also sporty. I feel like just first impression when I saw it, I was really excited to kind of get off the beaten path with it and see what it could do. But I also, you know, we were going through some cities as well on the trip with it. And it also was great in city driving. You know, it was easy to find parking and felt good in traffic and everything. But yeah, definitely at first glance, I felt like this is a sporty machine that I want to get out on bumpy roads on. Anna and I started our road trip in Santa Fe, and we cruised up to Taos and got a couple days just exploring that area, which was really fun. We loved getting off the highways when we could and seeing what northern New Mexico had to offer. And then we came down back through Santa Fe, through Truth or Consequences, and then made our way to western Texas, to Marfa.
Love is out there. Find it in a Crosstrek. Learn more at Subaru.com/Crosstrek. We're back. The acknowledgement of simple dreams is really powerful. While a lot of our conversations centered around careers, what we want for our personal lives is just as impactful. First, so this is like really casual, obviously. Are you taking a picture?
I just want to take a photo real quick because you look really cute. Cool. Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. I asked Kristen about her reaction to the question, are you allowed to change your dream?
My initial thought was not just yes, but yes, I'm living that right now. I have basically been living west of Texas for the past 5 years, and then before that kind of bouncing around. So I haven't lived in Florida for 10 years, and I now have just moved from San Diego to Destin, Florida, the town I grew up in. And with that was the decision made by the co-creator of my photo company and I, who is also my boyfriend, to go home, to go to family. We had some big family life changes happen that were pretty heartbreaking, and we just realized being in California was not okay for us during this time. And as we get older and our parents get older, we just kind of decided that we don't want to be far from them. And so with that, we also realized the opportunity that lies in Florida. And it's a really interesting transition because we thought all of the opportunity was west and all of the opportunity was in big cities and where these mountain ranges are and these islands that we go to and the proximity to nature. But in fact, going back home has given us more opportunity than we could ever imagine. And a lot of that has to do with having community and knowing so many people and being able to start now a new business and feel comfortable and have a little more financial security because we're not living in this bustling city where we're trying to just make ends meet. Now we're able to buy land and to build and to, we're talking about starting a family and getting married. So it's like all of the changes, everything. And we're still working and we're still doing photo work, which is the coolest part of this because I just figured, well, that'll be it for me. Like, I'm not going to get any more work. And I've actually had more work this past month. We moved 2 months ago and I've had more work now than in the last 6 months. I was ready to let go. And then the universe was like, nope, you're going to get to do some more stuff for now.
One of our group conversations was centered around transitions, and it involved a physical activity. Sarah Close facilitates discussions like this in her work, so we were in good hands.
Okay, so we're gonna do a couple different exercises, same as last night. The first one is a physical one, so you guys are gonna have to stand up, and it's called the truth spectrum. So I'm gonna read a bunch of statements, and then depending on whether or not you think it's true or false, you're gonna physically move your body on the line. So true will be over here, false will be over there, and you don't know, or if you're like a person who likes to be in the middle on things, you can put yourself in the middle wherever you are, okay? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay, cool. So let's do it. Okay, so the first one is transitions are scary.
In case you didn't catch that, the prompt was transitions are scary. And we had to react as to whether this was true or false or somewhere in the middle for us. A lot of our group moved to the middle and the truth side because they can be scary and that's okay.
Okay, so someone from the truth, do you want to share why transitions are scary? Why are you standing where you are?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Because there's risk involved.
Are you guys kind of in the middle?
Yeah. I think if you had asked me a year ago, I'd definitely be like way over there. But I'm just at a place where, yeah, I think that they're really exciting and an opportunity.
I like transitions. I'm probably like halfway between. I don't know. I'm a little bit. I think they can be scary, but I don't know. I've had a lot of transitions, and that feels good. Like I get excited about them, actually.
Yeah.
To the extent that maybe then I transition too much.
Yeah.
And jump from one idea to the next.
I love it. I agree. Okay. Transitions. What I'm moving towards in a transition is permanent. True. False.
So, first off, who am I talking to right now?
This is Sarah Virginia Yule. Okay, so I'm an artist. I really don't limit my medium. I work as a watercolorist. I do illustration. I paint on wood and make murals. Mostly what I try and tailor my art around is conservation and advocacy for the land messaging. And so it's evolving quite a bit, but I also somehow like to slip in there that I'm a joy evangelist and hope that, you know, the work that I do not only speaks to the land, but connects people to the land and connects people to each other.
Sarah Yule shared a story of letting go of a big dream. What I love about her story is that she's able to look back at that point in her life 10 years ago and see how it has shaped where she is today.
I've just been thinking a lot about it in my own life because I'm doing well and I'm really happy with the work that I'm doing right now. And there is sort of that self-critique of how did I get here and why is this working? And I think it's because I've changed my dreams a lot and I've allowed myself to evolve from one thing to the next. And now I get to apply a lot of the different experiences I've gotten into what I do now.
Can you describe one of those moments, like one that feels particularly pivotal?
Yeah, of course. The first thing I did was race bikes professionally. So being an athlete was really rewarding and very drenched in a dream-driven life. And I wanted to go to the Olympics. And I decided to leave that dream because I felt like another piece of me, sort of maybe another layer of me, was emerging that was really hungry or maybe undernourished in different areas like community or connection. Some element of personal growth was not being met as an athlete. And so I think that was like really probably the biggest transition I made in my life. And the other ones have been pretty big changes from one type of career to another as well. But the ability to leave something that I was really good at because of a hunch, just a you know, a little voice inside that I couldn't not listen to.
Was that scary in the moment?
Super scary. Yeah, and really emotional and really hard to justify to just about everyone in my life. Because I was successful and I was, you know, young and had supposedly plenty more years. I could still be racing my bike 10 years later. It's not like I was getting old or I was injured, but I felt like I had like a different inner vitality that I needed to answer to and learn about that wasn't being nourished in that experience. So it's funny to be 10 years later still thinking about that transition. I did a couple articles recently that these reporters like almost ruthlessly asked me why I left cycling in this way that's just not a short answer. But it's great. It's really productive because I realized making that decision as a 23-year-old set me up to be able to make that decision over and over at different junctures in my life. And I continue to remind myself and ask myself to always keep that ear to the grindstone of like, when is it time for something new, or what am I looking to bring in next? And I don't ever want to become complacent.
A piece of that where you were successful, that's what can be hard for other people to understand when you don't want to do something anymore, or you want to like move away from that.
Yeah, I think there's that sense of like, why would you go do something else when you're already thriving at this? But it's not as black and white as that. Maybe one part of me is thriving, but another part of me is dying or just not growing. And so I really appreciate pushing myself to be brave and willing to nourish the parts that are screaming to be fed.
I know that a lot of your artwork is connecting to the land. What ways does the land feed you? Like, in what ways does like spending time outside, not as an athlete, but as an artist, help you and your art grow?
Well, I'm so stoked on my equation now because my success as an artist is a lot less about me, and it's a lot more about the campaigns or the causes that I make art around. Mm-hmm. And so that relationship that I have to the land allows me to make a really genuine piece of artwork that's just an expression of that love. But then, you know, the more relationship and business-oriented part of me allows me to connect and collaborate with organizations that have a way larger reach than I do personally, and put that artwork and that love in the hands and eyes of a much broader audience.
A thread that runs through the stories I heard in Marfa, the role that the outdoors plays both in transitions and in overcoming blocks in our lives. For Jules, it's where she feels like her best self. For Shelma, it's the place she aligns herself with her values. For Kayla, it helps her gain focus. Nick Annette Miller, who we hear from next, looked to a natural phenomenon, the murmurations of starling birds, to help communicate what was going on inside of her.
So starlings were birds that I saw outside my Brooklyn apartment every day, and I looked them up, and it was during those days of doubt, and when I started watching these videos of the flight formation that they do called murmuration, I just really connected to the look of it, the shapes of it, mm-hmm. and realized that's how it feels inside my mind, where these thoughts are kind of leading into another and feeding each other and going bigger and spiraling and moving at a pace where all of a sudden I am not nice to myself. Mm. And just wishing I didn't exist because I just don't want to deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
And so when I realized this is how my depression feels, it was the first time I could communicate it. And what's nice has been through spending so much time talking about depression and kind of reading about it a ton and sitting with my thoughts and using these birds to symbolize that, I kind of realized that they're teaching me, the birds are teaching me and the depression is teaching me to observe these thoughts because they have something in them that's telling me what I'd rather be doing or how I really want to be feeling. And it just takes time and patience to really understand this abstract feeling and intuition. And but one thing that's, I think, really funny that I haven't really told many people yet is when I first met Sarah and Kristen in Denver, I said, I need you guys to manifest something with me. I want to see my first murmuration because I know they happen in Texas and I believe we're going to see one and I want you guys to believe it too. And as soon as we crossed the Texas border, there was a murmuration happening in front of these semi-trucks and I was driving. So I just like kind of tapped them and Kristen was asleep and I said, that's a murmuration, and they both filmed it for me and it went off onto the side above this field and it's really beautiful. When thinking about what's the biggest transition is my line of thinking from typically negative thinking to positive, to the point where when I make a mistake, I love it because I realize there's something to learn here or I'm never gonna do that again because I'm gonna remember. And I'm human. The reminders that I'm human.
This is when I actually haven't asked anyone else, what do you expect from yourself on a daily basis?
Whoa.
Okay, I should ask more people.
Okay.
This is Sarah Menzies, a documentary filmmaker from Seattle.
What do I expect of myself on a daily basis? I mean, yeah, I want to be a good person. I want to make the people around me feel good. I want my loving partner to feel supported and loved, and I want to make sure my dog gets outside enough times in the day to be happy. I want to check in on my family, and I've got a little niece who I love. I want to make sure I'm in her life. You know, there's those things that are very important to me. The career stuff, yeah, it totally varies day to day. I guess I want to make sure that I'm being true to myself in all of this, you know, and being able to tell the stories that I want to tell in a way I want to tell it. Yeah, I can get pretty heady and hard on myself. So I also am trying to work on that daily to not be so hard on myself.
What ways are you hard on yourself?
You know, I'll compare myself to other people, men and women that are doing similar work. I mean, I feel like even just against myself, you know, pitting myself against myself, you know, whether it's past projects or what I want to be doing, but I don't feel like I'm achieving it. I think it's just that voice that keeps popping in every once in a while. And I feel like I hope that that voice sticks around because it does push me, but it can get really unhealthy. You know, I mean, it can get, I can easily get into a tailspin that, you know, I'm just ready to light it all up, you know, like, yeah. Let's just be done with this. Let's just not even do it. I'm going to go back and get another job. Like, I'm going to, not even that that's a failure. I mean, I don't mean that to sound like a failure, but just sometimes I do wonder, am I even cut out to be doing this work? Yeah. Am I too emotional to be doing this work? Am I too sensitive? Do I not have tough enough skin? Can then comparing myself to people that I assume are those things who, when I get to know them, I realize they're not, like, they're just like me. But yeah, I think it's very easy to get into that space that you just think you're not good enough.
It's so easy to doubt what you're doing if you don't have a lot of external, like even just like reactions.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's where I'm trying to get better at just pulling the plug. And like, if I'm going down that tailspin, got my kind of mechanisms to pull myself back out. And sometimes it's just getting away that afternoon, you know, or it's going out fly fishing or getting my dog out on a big walk or a trail run or going skiing or, you know, something just to say, it's all good. Yeah. Go clear your head. This is, you're either tired or you're stressed or you're overworked, whatever, but you just got to push that reset button and that often will do the trick.
We are all balancing expectations we have of ourselves and of others. Sometimes they get in the way, sometimes we push through. Every conversation I had reminded me that changes don't have to be momentous to be impactful.
Come on in.
Woo!
Do you have a water?
I do, yeah.
Do you want to talk? Oh my God, yeah. I'm just like...
This is Anna Bronis, a writer, artist, producer, and publisher.
I think that sometimes we think about change in terms of big change. So we think about choices that we have to make, like, do I take this new job or not? Or do I move to this new city or not? But I think that it's the smaller choices that we make every day sometimes that are even more important or lead us on a path that maybe we didn't even knew existed before.
Anna has a philosophy around the word enough, and it's applicable across lifestyles and industries.
Well, it's something that I thought a lot about in the last year because I wrote this book called Live Lagom. And lagom is a Swedish word that kind of means just the right amount. So not too much, not too little. Just the ideal, that space in between. And I don't think that's in Swedish culture, it's very much a word that's used all the time and describes a variety of things. But I don't think that's it's not inherently a Swedish concept. Like, I think we all have an idea of what kind of like moderation and balance is. But after writing that book, I really thought about the idea of enough. And I think for me, it's come to mean presence and being focused on the present. And I like to think of like kind of a continuum of your life, which is sort of like past self, present self, future self. And I think often we think about who I was or who I'm going to be, who I will be, who I should be, instead of focusing on who I am. So for me, I think enough has come to be synonymous with like who I am today. And like today I am enough. Like what I have done and what I am doing today is enough and gratifying. And I don't necessarily know what I'm doing forward. But yeah, I think we struggle with enough in this culture because we live in a culture of extremes. And often I think we push ourselves to strive after like goals and dreams that aren't necessarily even ours.
Enough, like that concept. How does that reconcile with like creativity? Because I feel like often as a creative person, one is always pushing boundaries and continuing to grow and work and change and learn new mediums. And how are those two things reconciled, or how do they can they pair up?
We're very result driven in terms of society, so we focus a lot on what the end result is. But if you are a creative, it means that you enjoy the creative process. So if you're solely focused on the end product, like what's the point? Because the end product could not do well, it could not be received well, it could, you know, and so if you haven't enjoyed the process going up to that. So for me, it's like, I don't think that enough has to mean scaling back, or I think like pushing yourself is really good, but pushing yourself to a place that you feel inspired and confident, and then knowing that it's that process that is the most valuable to you, not necessarily what you come up with at the end. You have to find like a satisfaction in what the end result is, because I think we are very self-critical and we're often like, oh, I could have done this better, I could have done this better, but like you did the work that you could do at that moment in time with the skills that you had available to you. And maybe the next time you work on something, it'll be different because you'll have new skills or you'll be in a new life place. So the result is going to be different. But it's like enough in that moment and in that space and in that time.
So, are you allowed to change your dream? From what I learned from these women in Marfa, if you're able to,
Your dreams are dependent on your present and what makes up your base. Whether it's quiet time in nature or well-nurtured friendships or values and a mission that drive your daily decisions. Are you allowed to change your dream? As solid as your base might be, we aren't fixed. Outside and internal forces contribute to the ways we change every day. When we're at a crossroads, it's not about permission. It's about, as Anna said, making the right decision for us and for others at that moment in time. I want to leave us with a reflection from Laura Hughes, host of our sister podcast, Women on the Road. She was there with us in Marfa, recording sounds and sitting in on all these group discussions.
It's nice to know that I don't have to be forever attached to something, even if it's something I love, even if it's something that was a huge part of my identity. So it's nice to hear all these women's voices and their own journeys going through changing their dreams and the struggles associated with that, and the grief and the hope, because I feel that too. And I guess that's why we're all here.
Thanks to all the women who joined us in Marfa, including Jules Davies, Shelma June, Kayla Barnes, Kristen Blanton, Sarah Yule, Nicodette Miller, Sarah Menzies, Anna Bronis, Laura Hughes, Andrea Bemis, Sarah Forrest, Sarah Attar, Kelly DeWitt, and Sarah Close. Links to all their portfolios and handles can be found on both the episode landing page and the show notes. Thanks as well to Subaru for their partnership and sponsorship of this special episode. Make sure to subscribe to Women on the Road. You'll get to hear all about these women's road trips to Marfa on the episode that comes out on Friday. And we've been doing a lot of special editorial content on she-explores.com that centers around these themes as well. We're off next week. I'm actually going to be going on a hut trip with Julie Hotz, a woman that you might recognize from episode 2 and episode 32, Sisters in Persistence. She Explores will be back in 2 weeks. Until then, have fun out there.